All right, so welcome back to Lock It or Leave It. It's been a while. I think the last one we did was with Jared Gibson, another Raymond rep athlete. But now we got one of the best women's hoopers in the game. Before we get to her, I want to talk to Cam first. Cam, my guy, how you doing, man? It's been a while.
I'm doing great. Finally calmed down a little bit after all the March Madness craziness and stuff. A lot of brand deals coming in and out. So definitely going to get some more of these going with some of the hoopers. So stay tuned for those.
Yeah, absolutely. The NBA offseason just came, so all of my fun videos you guys are seeing have been put to rest. But we want to get to the main person for today. One of the best small forwards, one of the best players in women's basketball. The first Tar Heel in program history to record a triple-double. The first D1 player ever to record a 15-15-10 game against a ranked opponent. The first ACC player with a 15-15-5 in an NCAA tournament game since 2000. This guest is a hooper, but also a scholar, making all ACC academic team and a Raymond rep athlete. I want to formally introduce Alyssa Usby to the podcast. Alyssa, thank you for coming on.
Hey guys, thank you so much for having me. What a great intro.
Hey, I told you, Cam, it says on the go, my intros are awesome, man. So here we go.
He writes those, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, so hopping right into it, Alyssa, you're not just an outstanding hooper, but also a three-sport athlete, helping your team to a state championship in softball in 2019, and you reached the state tournament 3 times in 4 years as a forward on your high school soccer team, scoring a team-high 14 goals as a senior. When people talk about Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray, they mention how playing baseball helped their football game with side-angle throws and the ability to slide and not take hits. But for you, what made you gravitate to basketball, and did playing soccer and or softball help your basketball game at all?
Yeah, great question. I gravitated towards basketball just because I've had a love for the game since I was so young. And I have three older brothers that all played basketball, and that was kind of everybody's primary sport. So it's something that we bonded over growing up. And I think being a multi-sport athlete has definitely impacted my college career as a basketball player. I think back to like soccer and all the footwork and coordination that's needed. And then I think about all these other drills that we do in practice that I'm doing in practices today. And I just have a more like natural knack for like how my body should move and just being super fluent. So I think overall it really contributed to my athleticism.
I didn't know you had three brothers. Would you say that growing up and like maybe some of those backyard basketball games, did that help you like at all get better at rebounding? Because there's not a lot of girls in women's hoops that can get 15 rebounds in a game.
Oh, without a doubt. My brothers, I credit a lot of my success to them. So I'm the baby of the family. And so all of them are older than me. So they kind of have been a little more aggressive when we're out in the driveway playing, and They're not too apologetic if they knock me over on the ground, because they are, that's just kind of who they are. And I took my competitiveness after them and just kind of that chip on my shoulder that I carry. And so there's nobody that I can like bump up against that I haven't like faced that similar force with my brothers. So they definitely primed me for being a top level athlete.
I'm the baby of my family too. And sorry, Kim, I'm the baby of my family too. And my brother would always, he's bigger than me, everything. So whenever I play basketball now, I got to yell "and one" on any bucket I get, because I got to let you know, I may be smaller, but you'll catch this bucket. Cam, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Nothing was funnier, Alyssa, than watching Jay, because we used to scrimmage with some of the Florida State guys back in college and stuff. And nothing was funnier than watching Jay try to box out 7-foot guys, you know.
Oh, gosh. Hey, it's the size of the heart that matters and the pursuit. So that's all he needs.
Absolutely. Well, it worked out well for you, because it took you no time at all to burst onto the scene of college hoops, dropping 20-12-5 your freshman year in that home win against NC State. Can you talk a little bit about the adjustment period from high school to college, even if there is one, and how your role on the team has evolved from year to year?
Yeah, I think I've had a unique experience coming into college, because I wasn't ranked in the top 100 of ESPN recruits going into college. And so I was like the fifth pickup for like the incoming freshman class, and I drastically brought our average down in terms of like our class ranking compared to other classes around the country. And so I kind of came in very hesitant if I could even make it. And I was like, okay, as long as I start by like junior year, I think like I'll be content. Like I'll be happy. But then for like, that just didn't sit right with me, because I started on all my sports teams. I had a tremendous high school career in all these different sports. I was like, I'm just like not willing to accept that. And so every single day working out, like I just had that competitive edge, and people would look at me and be like, Liz, you're crazy. Like, you're crazy for like doing that kind of weight, or you're crazy for doing extra conditioning after that. But it mattered so much to me that I succeeded here that I literally wanted it more than I could breathe. And so obviously coming into college, there's a lot of adjustments. You're living on your own for the first time. You gotta worry about making your three meals a day and like what that looks like. And then you're in control of your finances for the first time for most people. And so there's definitely off-court adjustments that were challenging as well. And then the biggest on-court adjustment is probably like the physicality and the speed of the game, because you're coming in as a freshman, and although you have like your freshman peers, you're playing against sometimes like 23, 24-year-olds who've been in college for a while. We call them the old heads. So they usually got a little more experience on you, some more muscle, and just like overall like developed basketball IQ. So definitely a lot of adjustments, but I'm proud of myself for what I was able to accomplish so far.
Well, Alyssa, going that extra mile worked because you were named MVP of the Goombay Splash, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is it in the Bahamas?
Yes, yeah.
All right. So, for hoops aside for 1 second, is that one of the most underrated parts of the season and being a student athlete, just going to a beautiful place for an invitational?
That's a really unique experience. I didn't realize how much that would like matter to me when I look for like a place to go for my college experience. Like you like we spend so many hours in this one gym, and which is great, and we're so grateful for it. It's still beautiful to me to this day, even though I've been in it for going on like 5 years now. But it's really special to travel places with your teammates, because your teammates are going to be your biggest friend, like your best friends, your biggest supporters, and people that whose re relationships with I admire and I cherish, and I'm going to hang on to those for as long as I can and continue to develop them. So being put in a beautiful place like the Bahamas, you get the opportunity to just keep growing those relationships.
So you were among the top five candidates for the Cheryl Miller Award, awarded to the nation's best small forward. You averaged a double-double during ACC play, and you've also done that with points and assists, showing that versatility and ability to play make in your game. If you played your freshman year self right now in a game to 11, how do you think that would go?
I would admire my younger self for like for not giving up, because I know she would not give up. But I feel like my poise and my like intentionality with my moves, like I'm just so much smarter instead of like just working super hard. Now those so like those things in combination are really tough to guard. And so I'd definitely destroy my freshman self, but I would applaud her for her effort.
Does she get 1 or 2 points? You think she could score on
She might get one or two. I might foul one,
you?
so I had to give her a point.
I love that. One of the things that I've noticed from covering the NBA this year is seeing like guys like Kawhi and PG, and when they warm up, they have no wasted dribbles, no wasted movement. They get to their spots and they don't need to, pound the rock to get there or over dribble. Is that something you kind of learned as your time in college where, hey, I don't need to have five dribbles to get to the spot. I can do it in two. I can do it in one. I can do a post fade or a post spin to get to my spot instead of having to, just overwork myself.
No, you're exactly right. And I think like watching the NBA has been helpful for me, because efficiency matters, because like just as you keep going like up one level, like from high school to college, college to pro, your space, like the space shrinks, because defenders are better, they're faster, they're smarter at every level. So you have to improve in those areas as well on the offensive end. And so like dribbles need to be tighter, ball needs to be closer. You have to keep your property as close to you as possible. And so that's where I'm fortunate enough to have a coaching staff who's very well, like just infused in the basketball world. So they understand that that's the next step for college to pro.
We talked about how your role evolved over time as a Tar Heel, and I want to mention the impact and rise of women's basketball over the recent years. For the listeners, the most watched basketball game in the last 5 years was South Carolina versus Iowa in the national championship. For context, the Purdue-UConn national championship game ranked 9th in that same category. Can you talk about how being able to build your brand over years and create a community has helped women basketball rather than just a one-and-done concept in men's?
Yeah, great loaded question. I think just like the evolution of women's basketball has obviously been like a privilege to watch on TV, but even more so to be on the court and to be a part of the generation of female basketball players that have kind of like push the needle a little bit further. And whether that's like getting more sports coverage and then the recent adaptations of NIL and having those opportunities and being able to, like you said, create your brand. And then that in turn creates a community. It's been so awesome to be a part of it and watching like my peers. I grew up playing against Caitlin Clark and Paige Bueckers. And it's like, wow, these are my peers that in 7th and 8th grade I knew so well, and we were playing against each other every single summer. So it's, and I'm really proud of them. And so anytime I hear like any hate about like some of these players, I'm like, hey, I know her. She's like, she's legit. And so it's really cool to see how that community has formed, and I feel supported in the same way.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of led me into my next question there already. I definitely need to get your take on this. I'm sure you've seen some of the WNBA legends comments like Diana Taurasi, Cheryl Swoops, etc. Kind of been hating on Caitlin Clark a little bit, saying that she won't be able to do what she can do on the next level. Her game won't translate. It won't be as easy for her, etc. What do you think about that? And do you think she'll have any problems taking that leap this year?
When I hear or see comments like that, I just roll my eyes because everybody always doubts the next coming player. Like it's just so common amongst all sports, all ages. And so I'm like sick of hearing that just in general. So I just like let that roll off my back. I'm like, obviously there's going to be an adjustment. Every rookie goes through like that first pro practice, that training camp. And I don't think there's any better person to do that than Caitlin Clark and the other girls that have been drafted. And so I would love to see more support from the community and people rooting her on. However, I mean, I still understand that there are like going to be questions and so many eyes are on her. So those things are going to happen. But yeah, she's going to be totally fine.
I remember watching a video. It was way back when LeBron was going to get drafted to the Cavs. Everyone knew he was going number one. And Carlos Boozer, who was a Cav, and Larry Hughes and Darius Miles, they're being asked, like, can LeBron make that next leap? And they're like, he's going to have to fit in on our team. I don't know. I don't think a high schooler is going to come in here and do what he's doing. And it's like, all right, guys, let's relax. But my take on it is this: the Phoenix Mercury changed arenas that would accommodate 8,000 more seats for the Diana Taurasi versus Caitlin Clark game. I think if every WNBA player just bent the knee and heaped praise on Caitlin Clark, the excitement wouldn't be as high. Usually, when you hear GOATs or just your uncle at the cookout who swore he was going D1 before his knee injury, they're retired. They haven't played in eons, but that's not the case here. Diana Taurasi is still a bucket. It's like Duke UNC for you. The rivalry isn't as good if it's always buddy buddy. Do you think that kind of back and forth between the older and younger generation can help draw new fans to the game as well?
I definitely think that can help, and I think we've seen some examples of that throughout these like past 2 years. I feel like in media, like storytelling is super important. So as we saw with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, last year in the national championship game, we see like the John Cena like and all those celebrations and taunting and all that. I think that should be more normalized in women's basketball, but I'm so glad that it happened because not only is it starting to normalize like women showing more emotion and just being able to be more aggressive and competitive in games, but it also just kind of shows like the importance of kind of like that community.
The fans love storylines. They like getting behind. They like getting behind their athletes. Jay hates on me all the time when I talk about this, but they like getting behind that hero or the villain. Sometimes they like getting behind the villain just as much. So you gotta embrace that part of your aura, you know?
Definitely.
The only reason I get upset is because this guy's Mr. Narrative Man over here. He loves to craft narratives, you know, anything that he can kind of swing to his agenda. But I want to keep it on you for a second, Alyssa. You split the season series with Duke 1-1. We just talked about him. The first loss was in OT, and then the second time you played was a win on senior day. Can you talk about those matchups? What gets you up for those games? What makes that rivalry so great? And was there any extra motivation to win for your senior class?
Yeah, I mean, the Duke Carolina rivalry is one of the most like respected, prized, and traditional rivalries that college basketball has. And so it was surreal the first time that I played Duke. It was my sophomore year because they had opted out for my freshman year, which was during COVID. And I was just amazed because I've been watching that Duke Carolina rivalry for so many years, and never a day did I think that I would be able to play in that. So that was really special to me. And my goal was to never lose at Cameron Indoor. However, we did lose in OT this past season. And so that really stung. But yeah, definitely on senior day, like there's even more to play for if there isn't enough already. But the Duke Carolina rivalry, I describe it as classy. It's like it's aggressive and like it's a dog fight, but it's classy. And like there's some rivalries that like aren't as classy, and so I appreciate the Duke rivalry so much because of that.
Yeah, I mean, after an OT loss, there was no losing that second game. It was just wasn't an option. But we're going to take a quick break real quick, and then we're going to come back to recap the NCAA tournament and some NIL stuff. But first, a quick sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by absolutely nobody. We do not have any sponsors, but I wanted to use this time to say that we have a link tree now. You can find us on YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all of our socials in just one click. It'll be down in the description of this video episode. Want to thank you guys for supporting us. Leave us with some questions. NBA playoffs are in full swing, and to any potential sponsors, what's going on, man? All right, back to the episode. All right, so now we want to touch on the 2024 NCAA tournament. In the first round, Alyssa went off versus Michigan State, 16 points, 17 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks against MSU, stuff in the stat sheet. Put us in your shoes for that game. What were you seeing out there? And how much, even though you had a great game, was it a team effort to advance to the next round?
Yeah, that game was a big team effort. And before the game, my coach had told me, Alyssa, we need to play this game to your personality. And so my personality on the court is like aggressive, annoying on defense, just not taking anything from the other team, in terms of like if they score on you, like that's not happening again. And just having that like dog mentality to carry throughout the game. And we know there's gonna be adversity in games. So that was really important because you can't win without a team because at certain times, there's times where I go cold or somebody else goes cold and you got to pick each other up. And so that's something that was really cool being a part of this group this year. We had so much talent all the way down the roster, and I'm just really grateful that I was able to go out and play with my girls.
Yeah, so I know the South Carolina game didn't go as planned for you guys, but can you talk a little bit about what made South Carolina's defense so incredible? Because for me, watching that game, they switch more frequently than other teams in the tournament. They're never gambling for steals, and they place that huge emphasis on those defensive reboundings and often give up some opportunities on the fast break because of it. But let me know what you thought.
Yeah, South Carolina is obviously the most talented team in the country this past season. And you know, the first time we played them here in Carmichael, and we were winning at halftime and we lost by 6 or 7 by the end of the game. And I felt like the biggest difference was their defensive intensity. So the second time around, obviously we prepped ourselves as best as we could, and by the time the tip came off, it was like you just felt it was a different team. And then also their bench players could obviously start and be a star on any other team in the country. I think their bench players outscored us like 50-0. And so when you have that much depth in a team, they're clearly, as we saw, they won the national championship and went undefeated. That is a really, really tough team to beat.
Yeah, they're absolutely incredible. But before we let you go, we got to touch on your NIL success. For those of you who don't know, Alyssa is an absolute powerhouse in NIL. We've been working with her for over a year now. She's inked deals with TurboTax, Ritz Crackers, Taco Bell, just to name a few. If you could give any advice to other college athletes who want to build their brand maybe over the summer and try to be more successful going into next year, what would you say to them and maybe what did you do?
I would say the first thing is to start building your brand and not be timid about it. Social media is a great tool to begin building your brand. And then the second piece I would say is like for me, it was signing to a family, a representation that would be able to like just kind of push me forward. And so I've learned so much from everybody there, and they really support me like family, which is something I'm huge on. And relationship building is also one of the priorities that I have in the NIL space because I know that relationships go a lot further than any dollar amount can satisfy.
That's the end of it. Alyssa, you are awesome. Thank you so much for coming on here and giving us some time to talk some hoops with us. Like Cam said, you know, his stuff is winding down a little bit. NBA season is over. Well, at least for the Hornets, it is. It was so funny. I went to a press conference. They were unveiling the like new plans for stadium renovations, and they were saying we're gonna start in May. in the off season, and I was like, you probably could have started in April, let's be honest, guys. Like, ooh, you're not making it to May, you know. But either way, thank you guys for coming on. I'm gonna start doing these pods a little more. Alyssa, one more thanks to you.
Yeah, no, thanks again. And keep going, guys. You guys are killing it.
Cam just had a 1 million view video on TikTok saying Bronny James will be a member on the U.S. Olympic team. The next day, they announced Kawhi, but not before he stole some money from them. So we're doing great. Thank you guys so much. Until next time, we'll catch you later. Peace.
Okay, see you guys.